Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet, to pray, and to hear your word a bit. And so lead us this morning as we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's begin by singing.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Well, turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. We finished the prayers in Mark last week, and now we begin in Luke, and we're going to begin with chapter 2, verse 25, with this fellow Simeon. And Simeon, we're not sure who he is. There was a Simeon at this time in the history of Israel who attained the very highest rabbinical rank. He was the son of Hillel, who was really the beginner almost of that whole university education kind of thing there, where all of the Sanhedrin was trained and so forth. And he was the father of Gamaliel. You know, Gamaliel was the number one rabbi that taught Paul. And so there was this Simeon, and whether this is a Simeon or not, we don't know. But there was the Simeon, and the Jews have a tradition this was the guy. But he was taken out of the Mishnah because of his position on the temporalness of the Messiah. He believed the Messiah was only going to be there for a short time, and the Jews didn't accept that. They said, no, when Messiah comes, he'll be with us forever. And so they kicked him out, and they even took his name out of the Mishnah. And so if this is the guy or not, we don't know. But it's interesting to see what his prayer is here. And beginning in verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout. What a beautiful thing to say about a person. Just with dealings with men and devout with respect to God. And look what he was doing. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's a Jewish messianic term for the Messiah of Israel. And we notice the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here a just and devout man. We see a man here led by the Spirit of God, taught by the Word of God, and obedient to the will of God as he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, Joseph and Mary, brought in the Lord Jesus to do for him, to present him, according to the custom of the law, here is Simeon, led by the Spirit to be there, just so happened at the same time. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, now here's his prayer basically, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. Interesting, there's nothing in the scripture that says Simeon was an old man. In fact, it's believed that he lived quite a long time after this, and he was not that old. It's the same like Paul says in the book of Acts, he's ready to depart to be with the Lord, even though his death is not imminent. But whether he's old or not, we don't know. But he says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. I think that is really important for us to recognize how we look at death. I think the true child of God would not be concerned about death at all, but rather looking forward to it. We know eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of man the thing that God has prepared for us. We know that he said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be. In John 17:24, he praying to the Father, the last full petition, Father, I desire that these also whom you gave me, in other words, us, the future believers, what, may be with me where I am to behold my glory, the glory which you have given me from the foundations, for you loved me before the foundation of the earth. So we see here that the place God has prepared for us is so awesome. and for Christians to fear death, I don't understand it. Now, we had a good comment in Africa. I thought nailed it pretty well. One of the guys said, I don't fear death. It's just the method sometimes I'm kind of concerned about. Yeah. So none of us want to be suffering for a long time. But here we see Simeon is comfortable to part in peace. And this is really significant when you think at this time the Messiah had not yet come. And, you know, we read in Hebrews that it took away the fear of death, his coming. And so even guys like Abraham and David and Joseph and all, they would be somewhat concerned about death because they didn't know what was going to happen to them. Now, we've got all the assurances that absent from the body, present with the Lord, right? But they didn't have that then. And so he is, though, ready to depart in peace. So he really has an understanding of salvation, it would seem to me, although the Messiah has not yet come. Amazing, isn't it? We see such faith in different people in the Bible at times. So he is willing to depart in peace, what? According to your word. Yes. For my eyes have seen your salvation. And he is seeing Jesus as a baby. He is led to believe this is the Son of God, the Messiah. And only with faith could you know that, could you believe that. All the other Jewish leaders rejected that. You have seen your salvation, which you prepared before the face of what? Amazing. Here's this Jewish guy saying Jesus has come for all people. You can imagine how popular he is with the Sanhedrin, right? Because they were what? Jews only. Right. Only the Jews can ever be saved. The Gentiles are the fuel of hell. Fire the fuels of hell. There's no salvation unless you're a Jew. And here's this guy, Simeon, saying Jesus Christ has been prepared for the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to what? To the Gentiles. Isn't that amazing? Just awesome. Just truly awesome. And the glory of your people Israel. He's looking at saved people as one people. Mm-hmm. That is so amazing. Now, today we can look at that, although even today, most of the church doesn't accept that. Most of the church says that churches replace Israel, right? Israel doesn't have a chance because they sinned. And, of course, we totally forget we were all sinners, right? Right. But, oh, well, Israel's not going to be accepted because they rejected Christ. Well, how long did we reject Christ until we turned to him? But here we see Simeon with this great revelation by the Spirit and by the Word of God. And we see this in Isaiah. We see the Comforter of Israel. We see it in Isaiah 40, verse 1. It says, comfort ye, my people. We see it in Isaiah 61, 2, you know, where Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do this and do this and to what? To comfort the people. And here this word comfort is parakletos, very similar to the word for the Holy Spirit, which is parakletos. And so it's that same word here, the comforter of Israel is the parakletos, is the way that word is used there. So a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of the people. Now we have prophecy here, and I see really three things here. We see the image of a stone, a stumbling stone. We see the image of a sign or prophecy. And then we see the image of the sword as he goes on. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, here's the stumbling stone. Behold, this child is designed for the what? Fall and rising of many in Israel. Jesus Christ was, is, and always will be a stumbling stone, it would appear. For those who believe, he is, for those who rise, for those who reject, he is, indicates the fall. And so here, this child destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and then for a prophecy or a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, there will be many who will come against him, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also. So he's even prophetically talking about Jesus being pierced, it would appear, as well as Mary's heart is going to be pierced because of the agony that she will go through in an earthly sense as his mother. So a sword will pierce through your own soul also. So obviously he's talking about the sword piercing our Lord, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So we have this beautiful little insert here into the birth of Christ into right after the birth of Christ when Jesus is brought to the temple to be presented. And here's Simeon who has been waiting. Isn't that great? Now, what's the application for you and I? Not to wait for salvation anymore, right? We don't have to wait for that, but we want to make sure our salvation is secure. And you might just test yourself how you feel about death and whether you're really looking forward to it or not. Now, we don't want to get carried away and say, well, I just want to end it. I'm going to go sit over there in the corner until the Lord takes me home. All I want to do is be with him. That's good, but he's got things for you to do or you wouldn't be here now, right? So we don't want to miss the ministry opportunities he has for us by so looking forward to being with him that we are inactive. In fact, it's the other way around. We want to be really spurred on to the urgency and the importance of praying for the lost and praying for those who we've already told. In the meantime, spreading the word, right? Isn't that why we're still here? It was interesting. I was looking at the Great Commission the other day again. And, of course, the two in Matthew and Mark were so familiar with the Matthew, all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth, what, and go and make disciples, baptizing them and so forth. And then Mark is what, preach the gospel to all creatures. And that seems to be the thing that most mission organizations glom onto, evangelism, evangelism, evangelism. And it's important, but in the Luke account, what is it? It's preach repentance and remission of sins. Ooh, we don't hear much about that, do we? There's just so little repentance really emphasized today in salvation. And repentance is critical. If we don't have true repentance, we don't know the Lord. We can't know the Lord without true repentance, it would seem to me. So we have here then that we want to accept salvation now. We also want to recognize that all saved people are one. There's no difference between one and another. And we want to be praying for the lost because Jesus came for the whole world, right? And so there's nobody that we say, well, now we can have a heart for one country. That's fine. If you have a heart for China or Japan or Australia or wherever it is, so that's fine. But in reality, God is impartial. He loves all the same. And whether you like the little children in Africa because they're so cute and their faces are so black and their teeth are so white, that's all good. But he doesn't love them any more or any less than any other child or any other old person, really, because we're here such a short time on this earth, aren't we? And sometimes we think it's so bad when the Lord takes what we call a young person home, a teenager or something like that, and they didn't have a chance to live. But that's all relative. Whether you're here 5 years or whether you're 105 years in terms of eternity, it doesn't make any difference, really. We just need to have the salvation issue solved or accepted, and that's why we're here, I think. Father, we thank you for this account of Simeon and a man of prayer, a man of the Word, a man led by the Spirit, and a man obedient to you. Recognizing your awesomeness, Lord Jesus, and that you came for the Gentiles, you came for the Jews, that they would all be one people. Lord, may we have that heart for the lost, and may we be ready to depart in peace as we have you in our hearts, and that peace which passes all human understanding. Here we are to pray. You have invited us to come boldly to the throne of grace with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And so may we pray this morning as you lead us, and may we respond by our spirit to your spirit, Lord, in one accord. Lead us now, in Jesus' name.